Good evening. This is Archdeacon Steve West, the parish priest of St. Barnabas Parish in the Anglican Church and the Diocese of Trinidad and Tobago. I welcome you to reflection on this 20th Sunday after Pentecost, proper 22 year B. Our readings today, Job chapter 1, verse 1. And chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Psalm 26. Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. And chapter 2, verses 5 to 12. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 2 to 6. Let us pray. The Lord is here, His Spirit is with us. Therefore, we need not fear, for His Spirit is with us. And we are surrounded by love, for His Spirit is with us. We are immersed in peace, for His Spirit is with us. Therefore, we rejoice in hope, for His Spirit is with us. And we travel in faith, for God's Spirit is with us. Amen. Lord, we are your people, not because we are worthy, but by your grace alone. We are your people, we have come in joy and thanksgiving. We are your people, and we have come to praise you. We are your people, and we have come to give you the worship you deserve. We are your people, and we have come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Lord, you call us to come to you just as we are. You declare that when we come with open hearts and with open lives, you will never turn us away. Yet we also know that only as we focus our hearts and minds on your will and allow you to infiltrate every corner of our lives, will we truly be able to worship you. We long to experience your renewing spirit, your healing grace, and your empowering love. We pray that we might walk in the way of your truth and love. Amen. We have the hymn, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
We pray the colic for proper 22, followed by our parish prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and to give more than we either desire or deserve. Pour upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things for which we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Gracious God, you sent your only Son, Jesus, to be for us an example of godly living. Empower us by your Holy Spirit to treasure your creation, that we may be his faithful disciples in our time and place, making disciples of all nations, sharing his words with all who need to hear them, and helping our brothers and sisters to experience life in all its fullness. All to your honor and glory, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our reflection today is entitled, Facing Life's Challenges. Facing Life's Challenges. The writer of the book of Genesis, in the creation story, tells us that at the end of that first creation exercise, God's results were perfect. The writer states, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. Genesis chapter 1, verse 31a. God's instructions were, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die. Genesis chapter 3, verse 3. Having disobeyed God and followed the suggestion of the deceptive serpent, humankind brought sin, suffering, and death into the world. Throughout human history, humankind has allowed the tempter, the devil, or Satan, or the evil one, to distract us and cause us to misuse God's gift of free will. That is, the ability to choose our path, to choose between good and evil. Today, we still allow the tempter to distract us from doing God's will and disrupt our relationship with God by following our will or the way of the world. Because of this, we face many challenges in our journey through life. The story of Job helps us to understand that God does not impose suffering on us. God allows it to happen. We live in a broken and sinful world, and we will all be touched at some time or another by life's challenges, whether it is sickness, suffering, violence, broken relationships, and death. In the face of life's challenges, our God who loves us is always present with us to bring healing and wholeness, reconciliation and restoration. Job is described as one who is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and turns away from evil. The misfortune that Job endures has nothing to do with him, but with a wager between the Lord and Satan. In the first exchange between God and Satan, the Lord asks Satan, In your travels to and fro upon the earth, have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and turns away from evil. Job chapter 1, verse 8. In reply, Satan does not question Job's righteousness, only his motivation. He responds, "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Chapter 1, verse 9. In other words, who would not be faithful if they had been blessed with all the things that Job had been blessed with? Job had been blessed with a large family, 7 sons and 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 cattle, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and very many servants. So that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Job chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Satan suggests that with all those blessings, Job could afford to be faithful to God. Satan challenges God and claims that all that people have, they will give to save their lives. But stretch out your hand now and touch his bone and flesh, and he will curse you to your face. Job chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. God grants Satan leave to do whatever he would like with Job, only spare his life. Job faces a severe challenge. Before, all his family and possessions were taken away. Now his health is taken away as he contracts a chronic skin disease over his whole body. He is alive, yet he suffers tremendously. Job's wife is convinced that he is suffering because of some wrong he has done. Her advice is, do you still persist in your integrity? Curse God and die. Job chapter 2, verse 9. Job responds to her, shall we receive the good at the hand of God and not receive the bad? In the face of great suffering, Job would remain faithful to God. The writer states, in all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Job chapter 2, verse 10b. Job faced his challenges in life by remaining faithful to God. He was certain that even in his challenges, God was with him, and he could rely on God's faithfulness and love. We can be assured that in this broken world, we will be faced with many kinds of challenges. But like Job, we are called to keep faith with God, and God will restore us to wholeness of body, mind, and spirit as God decides. One of the challenges that we will face in this broken and sinful world is broken relationships, broken friendships, or broken marriages. In our gospel today from Mark chapter 10, verses 2 to 16, the Pharisees come to test Jesus. They are trying to trick Jesus into making a public statement condemning divorce. They wish him to do this in light of the fact that John the Baptist was imprisoned for condemning the marriage between Herod Antipas and Herodias, who divorced Antipas's brother Philip to marry Antipas. Maybe they hoped that Jesus would suffer the same fate and eventually be put to death like John the Baptist. Their inquiry had questionable motives. Jesus' responds with a question. What did Moses command you? Mark chapter 10, verse 3. They pointed out that Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of dismissal and divorce her. Verse 4. Jesus responds by pointing out that Moses was making a concession because of human sinfulness, and goes on to set out God's intent for human beings in the relationship of marriage. But Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he, that is Moses, wrote this command for you. But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Mark chapter 10, verses 5-9. The challenge for us in the sacrament of holy matrimony is not that we were created male and female, or that a man should leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. That indicates the start of a new family in the community. The challenge in marriage is whether, in fact, God has joined them together. Did the couple seek to determine whether their desire to marry was God's will for them? Did each person ask the question, Father, is this individual the one you have chosen for me? Have the individual asked for God's guidance as the relationship moves from friendship to the desire to commit to a lifelong relationship in marriage? Being joined by God does not only mean coming into God's presence on the wedding day for God to bless a relationship which God has not ordained or fostered by God's love. God's joining two individuals in marriage does not begin and end on the wedding day. God must be an integral part of the relationship from beginning to end. God's presence and God's love is necessary for God to join two persons, male and female, together and keep them together in the face of the challenges of disappointment, failure, unfaithfulness, and all other challenges that married folks face. If God has truly joined the two, then they will live and develop their relationship with God even as they grow to truly know and love each other. They will continue to live by faith in God, and God will supply the love that is required to meet the challenges of unfaithfulness with forgiveness and reconciliation. If the man and woman are truly joined by God, and God is a constant, ever-present part of their life together, they will continue with faith in God, and God in love will enable them to overcome any challenge the world will place before them, and no one will be able to separate them. There will be challenges for us in this life. But with faith in God and His Son Jesus Christ, we shall overcome them. When we are faced with the challenges of life, as we will be, we are called to remember the words of Jesus. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Amen. Let us pray. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, you welcome embrace it. Your welcome embrace young and old, rich and poor. Give your church this hospitable heart that all may find a place at your table. May your compassionate challenge set our standards. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, devious men sought to entrap your Son. Protect leaders from those who would distort their words, and your people from those who would lie and deceive. May your name be exalted in all the earth. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, you make men and women in your image and enable us to share in your love together. Bless all who are married and sustain them in living their vows. As your love never lets us go, so may marriage be a source of delight and rejoicing. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, you catch us when we fall and restore us. Hold tenderly all who have faced abuse or are injured by broken relationships. May your blessing rest upon us all today and always. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. Lord, in life and in death, we will praise you. We remember with love and thanksgiving all who have died. Gather to yourself all children of your kingdom. Righteous Lord, we wait on your word. As our Savior Christ had commanded and taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen. We have the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers.
The bowel cancer screening test for your family.
Let us pray. Teach us, good Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the costs, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing we do your will. And in that service, O God, we pray that you will continue to make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us so love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen. And we pray that may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his presence and his peace today and always. Amen. We pray that you will continue to keep faith with God even in the face of the challenges of life, and that God will continue to be present and bless you. Please be safe. We end today with the hymn, Amazing Grace.